Miriam, welcome to the Let's Talk About It occasional series, which maybe will be less occasional, more frequent.
Yeah, we'll see.
If this collab takes off the way we've been wanting it to take off, we've talked about this for a while. You, of course, have been an OG special guest star on Love and Life for many years now. I also like to remind new listeners, Miriam was on way back when I first started the podcast, and I was real busy on Instagram at the time, and I was getting all this feedback, like, more Miriam. There was, I think, a hashtag.
Yeah, I totally went viral.
You went viral with a hashtag more Miriam. So we brought you on as often as possible. I hopped on your podcast, Apparently Speaking. Also, full disclosure, we are besties from the day, met in college roommates, the whole thing. So we've talked a lot about some of those issues. But the Let's Talk About It has really been weighing heavy on my heart for several reasons, which I want to just discuss with you and with our community now, because I always think, like, what's your point? Like, what's your why is the way people put it now? What's your mission statement? Like, why do Miriam and Karen think that they should spend a half hour talking and then putting that out to the world? Why is that valuable? Why should anyone listen to us? And to me, and then I want to hear what you think about this, to me, I'm troubled by the fact that we even have to have a Let's Talk About It segment, because we supposedly have a First Amendment free speech. When we were little, like, people were like, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me, or it's a free country, I can say what I want, right?
Oh, no, it ain't either.
Right? So, but what we've seen, and I don't know exactly when, this probably started happening gradually and then quickly.
Right.
But we see now a couple trends. One, and I felt this personally. You know, I used to be very active on Instagram. I really enjoyed it for several years there, and I connected with people all over the world. It's an amazing tool. But what I found over the last several years, of course, COVID, but also as a psychologist, I've always been pro-natural methods, anti-pharma, for a variety of reasons, which I've spoken about on the program and we'll speak to again. I hope we can speak to that. I found that my reach was being diminished. Shadow banning, I guess, is what was happening. I don't know these algorithms. I'm just a psychologist trying to help people. And yet, if I'm trying to help people in a way that I believe is, I truly believe is correct, based on my experience, my professionalism, my education, my values, then some tech dude says, no, we're pro-pharma, you're pro-holistic approaches, so we're going to diminish your reach. I mean, it became this thing that was, quite frankly, very demoralizing. And you and I talked about it a lot, because I thought, I have so much on my heart, and yet I can spend hours and some other person is going to dampen my ability to connect with people. So that's one realm where talking about something that someone else decides you shouldn't be talking about, they can flip a switch and you can't get your message out there. Also, one more facet, and then I'll let you talk, promise. One other facet, when we debate, that used to be a thing.
Yeah.
I remember junior year of high school, I was in a debate class, and I chose to do a debate on pro-life. And I got up there, and I was nervous, because, I mean, it's the 80s, it's a private school, but it's not Christian, so I'm guessing 99% of the class was pro-choice, and I'm talking to girls, and women take a very strong stance on this issue oftentimes. Maybe some of the girls in that class had an abortion, I don't know. But no one yelled at me like, you hate women. You want women in shackles. You want them to be concubines. And no one said that to me. And I didn't say to them, well, if you're not pro-life, then you hate babies and you want them all dead and blood running in the street. I mean, we didn't have that vitriol. We could have a conversation and sit there and go, I hear your point. Here's where I disagree with it. But things have just gotten off the rails. So to me, what we're doing here is trying to bring back civil discourse where people can be free to share their opinions, even if they seem outlandish on either side of all the things. I hate that everything's on a side now. Team this, team that. But that's my heart for this. But I thought maybe someone else has that same heart and would like to hear people embrace and engage in conversations that sadly right now seem off limits.
Yeah, I'm sure that other people do, but they're probably afraid to say anything. Because it's just been this weird thing. I mean, you and I have talked about this, yeah, a lot. It's just, like you said, you used to be able to have friends that had different, you know, viewpoints than you did and felt differently about, you know, whatever, religion, politics, you know, any whatever the issues of the day were. And I probably have a couple, like one or two maybe friends like that kind of left that, you know, I feel that I truly can, we could have a conversation, a civil conversation, and at the end of it, you know, kind of say like, we just, you know, we disagree, but we are still, you know, want to have this friendship mm-hmm. and we still respect each other and neither one of us is crazy, you know, but that has just been like getting smaller, you know, that scope of people in my life anyway, because you're right. Now it's like, if you say something and it's not exactly what somebody agrees with, you're nuts, you know, you're crazy, you're this, you're that, you know, there's all this terminology out there. And I feel like, I don't know why that happened, how that happened so quickly. It seemed like it did because, yes, it did not used to be this way. Like we could, like you said, have friends from all different that believed and felt all kinds of different ways. And that's good. And we have conversation and here's why I feel this way. I still love you. Even if I said, like, I think you're completely wrong, but I still want to be your friend, you know, but that doesn't really happen that much anymore. Or it's like, she's nuts. You know what I mean? Like that don't, you know, Miriam's gotten nuts. Don't even, you know, talk to her anymore, that kind of thing. And not even just that, it's gotten like nasty. People are like nasty and angry. And I know it's all like too with social media because everyone has a platform now and everyone has opinion and everyone's opinion is right. Yeah. And so we can just get on and hide behind a computer or I can go on and make it, you know, people will go on and even put anonymous, you know, like I'll look on this, like certain sites, like community sites, and they will actually make it the anonymous, what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. I'm like, at least have the guts to say your name if you're going to say something, you know, But I also understand, too, sometimes people do that because then it's like they know they're going to be get attacked. So, but everybody just goes on and they're just so nasty on there. You know, I just will like read certain things sometimes and I'm like, wow, like everybody has to jump in when it doesn't have anything to do with them and just be mean. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't want to make this a generational thing, but being the age we are and having lived through a time pre-tech, pre-smartphones, pre-all kinds of things, I do feel this burden to share with the younger generations that we've seen how it can be, how you can have civil disagreements with love, because I think this barrier of, I'm just at the keyboard. I mean, people say things online and social media that they would never say to someone's face. So I want to remind all of us that we can get back. Are we civilized at this point? I don't feel like we live in a civilization.
You know, the younger generation, but I see plenty of people our age doing the exact same thing.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, what are you doing? You know, I just think people, have maybe they've just spent too much time behind that screen, or hide behind that, and then they just, and again, it's the old, you know, it used to be like, think before you sent a letter, you know, think before you send the email. Now it's like, think before you. And I think that it's a normal feeling. Like I'll see something about, I want to, you know, and it's like you get upset and you want to say something that you have to be able to like have some self-awareness, to like step back a minute. Is this adding value to this? What's going on? Is this necessary? Do I really need to say this? You know what I mean? Can I just walk away from this? Why am I even reading all of this? You know, all of these kind of things, but it's such a quick reaction.
And you're right. It's not that our generation hasn't gotten caught up in it as well. But I think if we can have a conversation like this and remember the things that we were raised, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Who was that? Was one of the Disney moms said that to Bambi's mom or something? I don't know. Maybe Thumper. I don't know. But so when you think about that, just remembering that and partly the algorithms do that as well, that they get us in these echo chambers, which is another thing that I'm hoping that a conversation like this can expand all of us to be willing to listen to someone who doesn't maybe necessarily agree with us 100%. And also remember, what is the heart behind it? This is the thing that hurt me a lot when I've always been anti-pharma. That goes back to my early days when Prozac was coming out, just when I was becoming a young therapist. And I remember, like, I went to a seminar and all the therapists are getting all excited about this wonder drug. And I go home and I tell my mom and dad, I'm like, there's this new drug and it's going to cure depression. And my dad's like, yeah, no, it's not. Cy Anderson was not having it. He was not. Praise God for that, because he really schooled me young to be skeptical. And again, speaking about such things, my father was a lifelong Democrat, my mother a lifelong Republican, and they raised three happy kids. That doesn't happen anymore. But okay, but back to my my point. So I'm sharing with my community, and now at this point I have, I mean, not a big platform, but not small. And I'm very active at this point. This is a couple years ago when I was very active on Instagram. And I share what I'm hoping will always be encouraging and empowering. And then I share some stuff about pharma, which I'd done actually even in the first year of the platform of the podcast with some really incredible players in the field, psychiatrists who were medical doctors, by the way, but also anti-pharma in the way that it's typically being used now for treating, you know, I've been feeling sad for a couple days. Prozac! Prozac's not working. Antipsychotic Abilify. It's a chaser drug. You just, more drugs, more drugs. That's why it's not working, because you haven't had enough drugs. Anyway, I get a little fired up about this. But so going back to that time, and I would share, and I would think by now, people in my community know my heart. But then if I said something about their precious Prozac, and people, once they get on their drugs, right, they love their drugs.
And you weren't attacking and them. You're just trying to here's something to think about. Here's maybe an alternative. Yeah. Here, you know, just something that, just another side to think about. I would always want to hear, like, well, maybe there's some another option for me. Maybe there isn't, but maybe there is, and I want to, you know, hear about it and see what that could possibly, look into it at least.
Right, and just to understand that there may be things that big multi-billion-dollar corporations don't want you to know because it will impact their revenue. Right. Just thinking critically, a little bit skeptical about big entities that need us to be sad so they can make money off us, need us to be sick so they can make money off us. But I believed I was coming from a pure place. And maybe because I'm so passionate about this subject, it didn't read that way or didn't land that way for other people. But it was really hurtful for me for then people to, that I had at least an online connection with, to kind of turn on me. Not all did. Many were thankful that I spoke out. But these kinds of things were, getting back to the big, not just about me here, but that we have seemed to lost the ability to look at people's hearts. So to your point you made earlier, people you've been friends with for sometimes 20 years, and then all of a sudden there's this COVID, for example, was so polarizing. And they're like, well, Miriam doesn't think that three-year-olds should run around in a mask all day. She's evil. She wants the children to bring COVID home to their grandma.
Yeah, I was actually, I have an email. I was called a baby killer.
Well, of course you
because
are.
Because I didn't that's your want
heart.
The mask.
That's your
but
heart,
that's a whole nother, but
anyone who knows you, if they spend 5 minutes with you or more, your baby hatred, the desire to kill infants and children and toddlers will come through. It's clear as day. So that's my point. It's absurd. It's absurd where we've gotten. And it's very troubling. And that's why it's been on my heart. And I'm like, we just have to talk about it and put it out there and see if anyone wants to engage with us.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things. Like, I feel like we've touched on so many things that can be future, you know, episodes because there's a lot to say about all of those things. But it all comes back to, you know, like you said earlier, just not being able to have that discussion, not being able to have that communication. Just like when you did those posts and you're sharing your heart, did somebody say, hey, my first instinct is to disagree with you because I feel like these things are helping me, blah, blah, blah. But I'd love to hear why you think that way. Or what do you think, there's another alternative? What's your research? That kind of thing. No, it wasn't like a calm, normal, or even if it was like, hey, I think you're great, but I just have to say, I totally disagree with you, but I still think you're great and want to, you know, follow you and learn from you. That kind of, it wasn't that. It was just like, oh, wait, you disagree with me on one issue. And so you're done.
Right.
You're done.
Right. It's an example of what we call a cognitive distortion in cognitive psych. A cognitive distortion where it's all or nothing, black or white. Like, you're either all good or all bad. And that's actually labeled, like I said, a cognitive distortion, that if I was doing therapy with a client and I heard that sort of polarizing discourse going on in their head, I would try to help them identify how unhelpful that is for their own happiness, for their own relationships, for building a fulfilling life, if they're looking at the world through this prism of all good, all bad, all wonderful, all evil. It's a distortion. Yeah. And yet we are now in a culture that fans the flame of these cognitive
distortions. And that's what, when I was on school board, that's exactly what happened with the masks. It was like, if you voted, you know, certain people that if they wanted it, masks all the time for everyone, for everyone's life, for the rest of their life. If you didn't agree with them, if you wanted it optional, like those people hate my guts to this day.
Right.
And I've never had a conversation with them.
Right.
And it's just like, you don't know me at all. You've never had a conversation, but it was that one issue. And so it was like, she's terrible. She's evil. She's a baby killer. We hate her. She must, you know, be destroyed. And, you know, anybody else, same, that did that, that voted that way. And it was like, okay, but I didn't think, I wasn't thinking the same thing about them. I mean, I didn't agree with them.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, well, the way they were acting, I was like, they're, you know, kind of nasty because of those things. You don't even know me. But I was like, hey, I'm sure that what the information they have, they think they're doing, making the best decision for themselves and their family. Maybe they don't have as open of a mind, or they don't see some of the information that I've seen, but maybe we could have a conversation, you know, or whatever it is, or agree to disagree, whatever it is. But it was crazy.
So you were able to say, I fundamentally and profoundly disagree about this mask issue, but I don't see you as a horrible human being who's out to suffocate children. Because you could have easily said that. You're trying to suffocate children.
No, I did not see them as horrible. I saw them as, they just, that's what they as much as I believed what I believed, they believed that, and they were coming from the place of, they thought that's what they had to do to protect their children. So I did not see them as these terrible, evil people. I saw them as, that's what they truly believed with their whole heart. Right. However, I did see them in a different light because of their actions, you know, because of their beliefs. So yes, I'm like, okay, now I see all I need to see. But because it wasn't because they initially disagreed with me. I did not have a problem with their disagreement of an issue. You know, they disagreed with an issue with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. It used to be. But you didn't see the same grace extended to you and
your
folks.
There was zero grace. No, nothing. No, it was like,
so,
like I said, you think this way, you're terrible, terrible person, hate you. Yeah, attack, attack, attack.
Yeah. So over Christmas, I was talking with an in-law about various topics, and healthcare came up. I mentioned how sad it is that so many of us have completely lost faith in our medical system. She looked a little confused and said, "Don't you trust your doctor?" And I replied, "I don't really have a doctor, and no, I wouldn't trust him if I did." So as you all know, Elliot and I had a very anti-establishment father, college professor who questioned everything, and he taught us to do the same. And he was especially skeptical of the symbiotic relationship between big pharma and physicians. And now, after COVID, whatever shred of trust I may have still had is long gone. I'm not alone. In fact, 40% of Americans say they would avoid a doctor or a hospital unless they needed acute care for a catastrophic emergency. But what are we going to do if we get sick? Where can we turn? Thankfully, courageous, dissident doctors remain committed to their Hippocratic oath in the midst of the censorship and unconstitutional mRNA mandates of the last several years. They've come together to form the Wellness Company to create a much-needed parallel healthcare system. Our dad always told Elliot and me to take charge. And one way we can take charge of our health is with the Wellness Company's Medical Emergency Kit. It comes with 8 potentially life-saving medications to get us through whatever the next thing is that gets thrown our way. You'll have antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics to help keep you and your family safe. The Medical Emergency Kit includes a comprehensive guidebook so you never have to guess how much to take or when to take it. To get your Medical Emergency Kit, go to twc.health/lovelife and use code LOVELIFE to save 15% at checkout. That's twc.health/lovelife and use code LOVELIFE, all one word, for 15% off. So one of the things I'd like to do with our segments is bring in some current events, because there are current events that get me fired up. And one thing that happened just recently, literally yesterday or 2 days ago, Aaron Rodgers, football quarterback, has been a frequent contributor to the Pat McAfee show, and we all know where Aaron stood on the jab. And that became a big controversy. And apparently Jimmy Kimmel, because I don't watch those late night shows, because...
Who does?
I hope no one.
Do people watch those?
They used to be funny.
They used to be a long time ago.
Okay, this is an example of where my heart is and where, again, we just... It's a nice segue from what you just talked about with your school board experience and people having different opinions about the masks during COVID for children. So Aaron Rodgers decides, I'm very healthy, I don't want this... untested, no longitudinal studies, experimental product injected into my body, and everyone loses their mind because you have to do this. And but what got to the point of, and I just saw clips of this because I would never watch this program, but there were clips of Jimmy Kimmel saying that if you never got the vaccine, in quotes, because it wasn't a vaccine, they changed the definition, but if you didn't get the jab, then if you rolled up to a hospital with some emergency situation, you should not get treatment. And Miriam, there have been many people who've made choices that would lead them to go to the hospital that you might disagree with. Say you're a professional in the medical system. Right. Someone who maybe, I don't know, just had a drug overdose with an illegal substance. There was never in the realm of American history that you would say that drug addict should not get treated for making years and years of choices that would go against the fabric of moral expectation of society members. And if you had a child with a broken arm and a drug addict who was going to die in 3 seconds if they didn't get treatment, you would say, my kid can wait because the broken arm is not going to kill my child. Please take care of this person who has ingested illegal substances. What happened that someone would say on TV, on a network broadcast, that people should not get treated?
I had a friend make a post saying the same thing. I was blown away. It said, it was, you know, just one of those posts, you have the colored background and then the words, you know, and it said, I don't have the exact wording, but it said, you know, yeah, if you're not getting this, I'm sure she didn't use the word jab. If you're not getting this, you know, vaccine, you should be denied any other medical treatment. I was like, whoa. Because I have, you know, my one friend, you know, couple friends that I would consider very dear, close friends, they definitely got it and were all for it. And that's okay. I mean, I didn't want them to, but they did. But they did say to me, though, we don't think that anyone should have to get it or should be treated differently if they don't. And that's like two people. And then the rest, it was things like that. Like I was blown away when I saw that, like blown away.
And that's something that Aaron Rodgers spoke to. And the reason I wanted to bring this up, because it really puts a button on the whole why of this segment that I hope we continue. But Aaron was, he did about a 20 minute just explaining his position. Cause I guess it got to the point where now it looks like he was trying to say Jimmy Kimmel is a pedophile because he was on Epstein's list, blah, blah. I don't even understand all that, but anyone should watch it. It's about 20 minutes on this Pat McAfee show, and I think it was, what's today? Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. And he just very calmly explains, well, the masks didn't work, and yet we were mandated to do that. The jab didn't work. We were mandated to do that. People lost their businesses because of these lockdowns. And he basically saying none of this made sense. Almost kind of asking why isn't anyone else more upset? He's like, the NFL lost billions of dollars and no one's upset. So kind of asking this. And I don't know anything about these people, but there's like, he's got sidekick guys there, all these big like sports guys. And I'm thinking, why is Aaron the only man in this room who has the guts to say this? And he's not being crazy.
No.
And here's the point. Guess who's not going to appear on the Pat McAfee show anymore?
Right.
His segment. And I guess he's been doing it every Tuesday for years, and now he's not. Because ESPN was like, oh, no, no, no. Now, why would ESPN have a problem with that? Aren't y'all about competition and sports and everyone's tough? Oh, really? Except Pfizer's paying the bill for that programming. So yeah. Sorry, Aaron. Yeah. It's just absurd. It's pathetic. And for people to have problems with us having this conversation, and we say something like, well, you might want to look at the money trail. Mm-hmm. Follow the money. No, we're crazy.
No, it's very easy to follow the money trail. Very easy. Just do a little search, you know, who's the biggest donor to this person or who's the biggest donor to that, you know, and it comes right there. And you and I aren't sitting here saying like every single medication is terrible, every single, you know, I mean, but
I mean, I'm getting there too. I'm really close.
That's why I stopped. I'm like, well, kind of. But
I know. I knew where you were going.
I understand that some people there are some things, I'm not going to say, like, obviously I'm not in the medical field, so I'm not going to say, like, black, you know, nobody should take anything. But you should research it. You should research what it is, why, are there other options? Just, that's all. Just, instead of just going in and saying, oh, I'm going to prescribe, okay, you know what I mean? Or you should have this, okay. Just say, I'm going to do my due diligence on this first.
And get second, third, fourth opinions. That was also something that was a very commonly understood recommendation. Even doctors would say, oh, good, get
another
opinion.
Yeah, they didn't get offended. Yeah. It was like, yeah, go ahead and, yeah, see what they think and come back.
And when did do your own research become a pejorative statement?
Right.
Where we were taught, again, think critically. Don't just look at the common narrative about X, Y, Z. Yeah. Make sure you're looking at it from other angles. Consider someone's motivation for presenting information in this way. And that gets back to what we were talking about, understanding people's hearts. Well, if you understand that there's business at work, and I'm pro-business, but if you understand that someone's going to make a buck off the decision you're making, maybe think about that. Maybe think about, okay, well, what does that mean for the choice I'm about to make?
I think it's just, I think, you know, there are different things, you know, different reasons. Like why? It's like some people just don't think critically. And some people, I think that it's very hard to accept or understand, like, that someone wouldn't have your best interest necessarily, you know, at heart. So it's like, well, why would they have me do this if it's not what's best? That, you know, it's hard for people to understand that, accept that. So it's just like, well, that doesn't make sense. They know what they're doing. You know, I don't. They've been trained for this. So they're gonna tell me what would be best. So I just think that, and I think that's a normal reaction. Like you go, oh, do this. Okay. You know what I mean? Like that's what they told me to do. So people aren't used to questioning. Or some people were taught, they feel like, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Those people are really a dying breed. Everyone likes to offend people now, but you know what I mean? Like some people it's like, you know, and I think women tend to be, you know, like that too. Well, I don't know. This is what they said I should do or take. And I don't want to offend them or make them mad or, you know, that kind of thing. Question them.
For sure. Well, and we have a society that's based on various people getting expertise in various domains so that you don't have to think about it. The whole trust your doctor or trust your mechanic, right? I trust my mechanic that he's going to change my oil, right? And then when I drive off, my engine isn't going to seize up because the oil drips out. Like we have outsourced so much of our daily lives to experts that we believed we could trust. And what happens is when you go through something we all lived through and you see that there were factions at work that were undermining our ability to trust these entities and certainly these governmental agencies, it causes everyone to be on very shaky ground. And some people just don't want to go there. I mean, I've had conversations with friends like, I've said, I've been critical of Fauci, you think? And I've had friends say, well, he's been a public servant. He's been working for the government for 40 years.
Look it up.
And I'm thinking... And I would say something like, well, so that necessarily means that he's always right about everything?
Right.
That I shouldn't question him?
Yeah, and even if someone felt someone was, this wonderful, smart, you should still do your own, you know, question and check it out and all of that. But I just think too, I don't know. I think that a lot of people don't. They just, like, they would think we're crazy. You know, you're a conspiracy theorist, you know, you're nuts. And they just don't want to either go there because maybe it's, they don't want to realize some things, or they just think that this stuff could not possibly, it's so out there what you're saying. It cannot possibly be true.
Mm-hmm.
And it does sound really out there if you think about it.
Yeah. Oh, it does. It threatens your worldview. Yeah. It threatens your safety, your sense of security, your sense of what's known. And that's another reason I want to have these conversations, because I do feel like the ground has shifted beneath us in ways that I didn't anticipate. And because I had a father who was always encouraging me to question, to be anti-establishment, to question authority, and not to be a jerk about it. I mean, I wasn't raised to be a jerk. I minded my teachers. I paid attention at school. Elliot was the rebel. Of course, now he's the pastor, making me look bad. I was the good kid, right? But I wasn't raised to be contrarian, just to be contrarian, but to be savvy yeah. and wise.
Yeah, I had my son at a doctor, and I hadn't met this doctor before, and so she didn't know me or anything. And so she said, oh, there's this new medication. And right away I'm like, you know, here we go. And she wasn't doing anything, you know, wrong. She just said, oh, and here's this new medication I'm going to give you. And it wasn't like, that was it. There wasn't even really talk about it, what it was, what it could do, mm-hmm. pro and, you know, good and bad, what side effects. It was just like, there's this new medication. It's great. And here. And I just said, oh, no. Like, I would not, we're not going to do that. And she just, it was like, she was shocked, like shocked.
Right.
And she just but stopped. I said, yeah, and looked at me. And I was super idea. Nice about it, you know. And she just said, then she said, why wouldn't you do this? If you, I'm telling you it works, why wouldn't you? Like, I'm this terrible, you know, mother. And I said, mm-hmm. oh, no, I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm saying I don't even know what it is. You know, and you're saying it's new.
Right.
So I would definitely have to research it. And because of the fact that it's new, I just don't think, you know, and I'm not able to make that decision because it's new. So we don't know, you know, anything about it long term and things like that. So I'm just not, this is not something I can get on board with. And she just looked at me, you know, and then she said, well, you know, okay, you know, why don't you, whatever, you know, and then that'll give you some time to research this. And then, you know, and I was like, okay, like I was super kind about it, but it was like nobody had ever said that to her.
Yeah.
And I was, like I said, it was nice and she was nice. There was no problem, but I think she thought I was crazy.
I'm sure she did.
And I think it's hard. A lot of people have a hard time in a situation like that to say, like,
right.
no.
To an authority figure.
Think about that. Because it's like mm-hmm. you're in front of the person. And it, I just think right. a lot of people have a hard time with that.
Mm-hmm.
I do not.
Yep. So what's our why, Miriam? Our why is, sadly, we are in a time, this I'd argue is maybe a dark age, that talking about certain things is at least ranges from please don't to you're evil if you do. Mm. So we're going to challenge that. We reject the premise of that and we say, let's talk about it. And it's going to be a variety of things.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm an expert in these, you know, it's not like you should listen to me. I'm an expert. But like you said, we just want to talk about it. Just talk about it. Listen, maybe there's another side to things. Maybe there's something that somebody will hear and go, I hadn't thought about that. I'll check it out. Just as we would be open to listen to, you know, we've listened to all the other, you know, mm-hmm. out there and mm-hmm. for things that we're going to talk about.
Well, we had to because Jimmy Kimmel was saying we shouldn't get treated at the emergency room. So what's our why? Our why is we reject the premise that certain topics should be off limits and we invite the possibility that some good can come for all of us if we bring topics that are currently taboo to the table to discuss in a civil, loving, open-minded manner. Remember when open-mindedness was a value, Mary? Remember that? So that's what we're here to do. We invite you to join us. Thank you for listening and shoot us some emails with topics you want us to discuss. Sure. If there's anything on your heart that you'd like us to hear, or maybe we'll do some lives, get our butts back on Instagram and do some lives where people can throw topics up and we can have more of a holistic kind of discourse together. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining me, Miriam.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed the conversation and we want to hear from you. What topics are on your mind that you would like to have a little deeper look into? Miriam and I will, of course, cover pharma because it's a passion point / pain point for me, but we're going to cover a lot of other topics as well. So let us know what you're interested in hearing about. And until next time, make it a great week.
Love and Life is produced by Tim May and hosts and executive producer, Dr. Karen Anderson-Abril.